And that brings me to talk to Congressman Jim Banks, who stands by. Congressman Banks, to some people, to say Pat Miller program and best of in the same sentence almost doesn't seem plausible.
Well, it's good to be with you, Pat, regardless.
Yeah, well, it's very good to have you with us. I understand. I hope I'm not out of line doing this. You've just had an auto problem?
I just got rear-ended. I just bought a new Ford Bronco Sport from City Ford in Columbia City for my friend Doug McKibben.
Those are terrific vehicles.
And because my car got totaled recently, parked, not because of anything that I did, but parked in the D.C. area on the street. It was totaled, so I bought one of these new Ford Broncos and love it. And I just got rear-ended. fortunately, I got out, and it did very minimal damage. But I guess that's the kind of luck I'm having on this Thursday as well.
See, there you go. I tried to help you out with this stuff. So there you go. Congressman, a few things I want to go over with you today. One of them political, one of them not political, although some are trying to drag it into the world of politics. Let's start first with the shooting down there in Uvalde, Texas. You know, a nice little town west of San Antonio, just north of our southern border. A very large Hispanic presence there, and just horrific things that happened there down in Uvalde, Texas. Your take on what it is, and it just seems to me that, again, and we went through some previous incidents, sir, here on the program, of things that have happened over the last several years, where any time something like this happens, it's like there's this large jump by other politicians and by people in the press to try to lay this on the Republicans' doorstep, in that this was brown on brown, in that this was down there in a city there near the Mexican border, and it seems like it was just a young man that was troubled for whatever reason. It's pretty hard to lay this on any political party, isn't it?
Yeah, and shame on anyone who does that, who politicizes this for their own political gain. But we're all too used to that. And that's the shameful part of situations like these. We have to have a serious conversation in our country about how we secure our schools and protect our kids. And I want to be on the front lines of that conversation. And I know, I think of Jeremy Goley, who's the superintendent down the Jay County Schools. He's been a leader on this conversation for a couple of years now and been innovative in that school district and the southern part of our district to use biometrics and to provide security measures for teachers in case of a tragedy or catastrophic situation. We got to do everything we can to avoid it from happening to begin with, but if a situation like that did happen in Indiana school, we got to prepare our teachers and those involved, whether it's single points of entry, whether it's providing some kind of supervision or magnetometers at the entrance of a school, armed security guards, whatever that might look like, or more sophisticated technologies. You know, I've been asking a lot of people the question, we just sent $40 billion more dollars to Ukraine. Why can't we find the money in this country, in the greatest country in the world, to give the resources that we need to schools, to states, and to give out to the schools to update their security posture? So instead, the left always wants to drive this conversation toward radical gun control measures to take guns away from law-abiding Americans and to diminish our constitutional rights. We can secure our schools and protect our kids and not violate the Constitution of the United States of America. And I think that's where the conversation has to begin. There's some people on the left who don't want to have that conversation, but I can tell you, Pat, I'm one of many on the right who is fully open and willing and wants to be a part of a conversation about how we secure our schools.
I read an editorial last night at about midnight. Just get your take on this. You're well aware of the press conference that the governor of Texas was holding. It was a very non-political press conference, in that here was a governor trying to do what was right in helping a town that found themselves on a headline that they didn't ask for. And in the midst of all that, you've got Beto O'Rourke, who is trying to run against this governor to, you know, grandstand, do whatever. Did Beto O'Rourke, according to the piece I saw, did he in fact just kill his career?
Well, if he hadn't already, I used to serve with Beto. We used to be on the Veterans Committee my freshman term in Congress. We used to work together, and he was a fairly reasonable member of Congress back then. But as soon as he gained national fame, the switch flipped, and in situations like these where he's just so desperate for attention and to be relevant, and I think at this point he knows there is no way that he's going to beat Governor Abbott. So these are sort of desperate attempts to make himself to get attention, and he certainly did that. But it's the wrong kind of attention. It's disgusting to turn an event like that into a political circus like he did. You know, furthermore, Pat, I'm sick and tired of those on the left, even some people locally and the Indiana State Democrat Party and Democrats locally, who try to shame me and anyone else when we talk about how we are praying for people in a time of tragedy. There's nothing more powerful and important that we can do, because it's the one thing that we can do, to pray for those families who have been affected during this tragedy or any tragedy that occurs in any way. To attack me for me or anyone of faith for saying that they're praying for someone during a tragedy just goes to show you how intolerant the left really is at this point today. It's disgusting, and Beto O'Rourke and his desperate move is just another example of how shameful the left has become.
To what do you attribute that? I view it as this is a last breath hope for something where they don't have anything. I mean, they jumped so fast that even before we knew how many children were dead, what all had happened, I started getting things in my inbox from Democrats, some nationally, that were trying to tell me what it was that the Republicans had done that made all of this possible. And I'll tell you, I'm getting rather ill of it. I'm getting rather sick of it.
Well, it's the same reason that they won't put a bill on the floor of the House of Congress today to give funding to the states to help schools improve their security. They won't do that. If they did that, it would pass overwhelmingly. And imagine what those resources could go to help do. Mental health care for students, more counselors in the school to address mental health. Security, armed security guards, and then just modern technology to secure these schools. The Democrats will not do that. They will not allow a bill to come to the floor that would pass overwhelmingly with bipartisan support that would provide that kind of aid to states and to schools, because they want to seize and use tragedies like these to advance their own radical agenda. That's the fact of the matter. So shame on them for that. You're right to be tired of it. I am as well, but it's what we've come to expect.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's really the case. When you start doing it, though, for political gain, Beto O'Rourke and others standing on the caskets of young kids, I'm sorry. In my view, I may be wrong, but I just don't think there's anything more despicable, Congressman.
I completely agree.
So we had some activity here in the state of which you're well aware. We had a Republican majority in our House and Senate here in Indiana, down there at the State House where you served us before you went to Washington, D.C. And in that, they made a strong stand that in the state of Indiana, if you're a boy, if you're biologically a guy, you're not going to be able to participate in sports that are done for biological girls. You just can't cross over that. And the bill passed in monstrous fashion, only to be overridden, vetoed by a Republican governor, which I will tell you, you and I had this conversation, I think, on the phone just between the two of us, but I'll tell you again, I've never been more flummoxed in my life than to see a Republican decide to use his veto against the overall majority in both houses of his own party for such a reason as this. I was astounded by it.
Yeah, I was too. I can't make sense of it. I mean, this is common sense. And by the way, the legislation is overwhelmingly popular among Hoosiers as well, and that's not the reason to pass it. It's just the right thing to do. It's not fair that biological boys who have a physical advantage over girls would be allowed to compete against our daughters. I'm a girl dad, and all three of my girls are involved in sports, and so this issue hits home. For us, it's a movement across the country by the radical left and those who push these radical gender theories on our kids at a very young age. We're seeing more and more of these cases. And these legislators who overrode the governor's veto, my respect and my appreciation to all of them for doing it. I know it's not easy to go do a special session, go back to the state house and override a veto of the governor of your own party. But this was just the right thing to do. And I know most of our area legislators, all but I think one of them, voted to override the veto. And Martin Carball and Andy Zay and Chris Judy and Dave Abbott, all of these and more, they all did the right thing and went back to the state house. And I appreciated that they did that.
Yeah, I do too. And that they went back there and gave some earned time off that they had and decided to go back. This is true. Some people said, well, while they were there, why didn't they pass a bill on this and this and this? You can't do that. This is a day that's set aside. It's set aside every year. Sometimes it's used, sometimes not, because sometimes bills need tweaking. There's something we forgot, a word, a number. So they go back to tweak it. And in this particular case, the tweaking that they needed was to override the governor's veto. And just like I'm a little flummoxed about things and some of the responses to everything down in Texas, I'm flummoxed by what it is I think the governor thinks he might be trying to gain for himself here, so that when his time as governor is over, which is coming up because you can't serve more than two consecutive terms as governor in the state of Indiana, what is it he thinks he's doing? And I'm going to be honest with you. I have zero idea what it is.
I don't have an idea either, Pat, but I can tell you that we have some very woke corporations in our state.
Yep.
who supported the governor's veto. So I can only assume that he was placating those woke corporate interests that have been taken over by left-wing board members and others, that he was listening more to them than he was listening to Hoosiers, because Hoosiers are overwhelmingly on the side of protecting our girls, protecting our daughters.
Well, yeah, just like they are about life.
And that's why they, just like they are on the life issues. So
right.
Indiana is now, I think, the 17th state, something like that, that's passed the exact same law that will go into effect now that they've overridden the veto that says that biological boys can't compete against girls in sports. I've said all along, though, and I want to be very clear about this, this bill does not go far enough. They stripped it down in the process so it does not include collegiate sports, I assume, to placate the NCAA, which we all know is headquartered in Indianapolis.
Right.
So I wish they would have gone further with the bill, but the bill is important, and I do applaud it, because it does, at the K-12 level, make a very serious and powerful statement that in Indiana we value the role of girls, of women. We value you for being a girl or a woman in our state, and that's a powerful statement that the rest of the country needs to hear.
It really, really is, especially in the days of swapping sexes and LGBTQ+ and all the other. There's something magical about looking into the face of your daughters and my daughters and every daughter in the state and saying, just as you are, you matter to us, and we're going to show you how much. And I think it's an incredible statement. Last word from you, sir, before we're out of here.
Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, and I never take it lightly, especially after serving myself in Afghanistan. I think about the men who I served with who didn't come home. That's what Memorial Day is all about. And as we enjoy our families and our time off, may we never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice that makes this country the greatest country in the history of the world.
Congressman Banks, thank you so very much, sir. We look forward to seeing you again next week on this elongated weekend. You, Amanda, and the girls have a fabulous weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Podcasts by Federated Media.